And good morning. Our scripture reading for the month of March, or excuse me, the Bible memory for the month of March is in Psalm 110, just two verses. And we're going to stand in just a moment and recite it together. And then after that, I invite you to remain standing as I'll be reading our scripture passage, which is in mostly Hebrews 7. You can follow along on a tablet or your phone or a book or with the words on the screen as they are there. And I'm going to be jumping through some of the verses in chapter 7, so I'll let you know when I'm moving ahead to the next series or groups of verses. But for now, I invite you to join with me by standing either physically or in your heart before God as we say these words together from the book that we love. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And now these words, starting in Hebrews 6, verse 20. Jesus has become a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, chapter 7. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who became priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they also are descendants from Abraham. Verse 9. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Verse 15. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, the one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Verse 20. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. God's very word. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. We all enjoy a good news, bad news story, and I found one. A lawyer is meeting with his client, and as they are conferring together, the lawyer says, "Well, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. What do you want first?" And the client says, "Well, I'll take the bad news first. The lawyer says, well, the bad news is that your blood matches the blood that was found at the murder scene. Oh. Well, what's the good news? The lawyer says, well, the good news is your cholesterol is down to 140. So today I've got some good news, some bad news, some great news. Maybe as we enter into chapter 7, the good news is that you only have to have one picture in your mind for chapter 7, and that is the picture of the high priest. Maybe the not so good news rather than the bad news. The not so good news is you got to remember 8 more snapshots about who Jesus is. But the great news is that these snapshots are not just of the past, they are snapshots of the present. They are active, they are vibrant, and these are snapshots in which Jesus invites us in to experience him, not just as he was, but as he is, to enjoy all that he is. He is the great high priest. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of these verses and what the author has to say about Jesus being in the line of Melchizedek, and then we're going to look at some of the snapshots together. It begins with looking at the role of the high priest from the line of Aaron. And one of the key words that comes into play as we reflect on starting in chapter 7 and moving into chapter 8 is the word mediator. We don't find that word mediator in chapter 7, but we find the principle there over and over. But it's a key word to describe who Jesus is. We find it in 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Jesus is the one go-between between humankind and God. God has these wonderful things that he wants to give to us, wonderful things that he wants us to experience from his hand. They come to us through Jesus. We have things we want to give back to God. We have our praise, we have our worship, we have our offerings. They go to Father God through Jesus. He is in the middle. He is the mediator between Father God and humanity. Now, we understand the role of a mediator. A mediator can often bring a husband and wife together. They are a go-between between union and management in a strike. A lawyer mediates in a courtroom. In fact, today you can get your bachelor's degree in mediation and conflict resolution. Here in Jesus, encapsulated in him, is the greatest mediator of all. He brings humanity and God together, but he is so much more. Now, the people in the Old Testament, they understood the role of a spiritual mediator, one who brings people and God together. Some of those mediators were priests, and they followed out of the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi were the ones who served in the tabernacle and the temple. In fact, they were part of the worship team. They were scattered in different towns throughout Israel, but they were mediators, ones who brought people and God together. And now out of that tribe of Levi, there was one family from the family of Aaron who became the high priest. And the high priest had a special role in mediating God and humanity. His role was Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he went into the Holy of Holies that we reflected on last week to show God's people what God would ultimately do through his son Jesus. The Holy of Holies was the place where God's intense presence dwelled. And so the high priest, once a year, would take the blood of an unblemished lamb into the Holy of Holies. And there, behind the curtain, before the altar, he would sprinkle the blood of this spotless lamb. He would sprinkle it there as a symbol that the blood was needed to purge the people from their sin. Now, if this wasn't done right, or if the blood was taken from an imperfect lamb, the high priest might be struck dead there in the Holy of Holies by God himself. That's why when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope to his leg so that in case he was struck dead, they could pull his body out. Literally, that's what they did. It's true. If God didn't think that the sacrifice was perfect enough or it was done in a holy enough way, this was the shadow of Jesus who was to come. Jesus would be the perfect substance that would be offered on the throne of Father God for the forgiveness of all of God's people. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 7 is trying to help the Jewish Christians who are under intense persecution from Rome. And because they are under this intense persecution, many of the Jewish Christians are deciding to leave Jesus alone and to go back to their Jewish faith. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're just going back to a shadow. You're just going back to a straw man. You're just going back to the things that are all pointing to Jesus. Why would you go back to that? The choice is to go back to the shadows or to stay with Jesus, who is the fulfillment of it all. And so the writer of Hebrews uses the image of a mediator between people and the living God to help us better understand who Jesus is and what he does for us. And so, in not only talking about the high priest, the writer of Hebrews goes on to talk about Jesus being greater than the high priest out of the family line of Aaron. And so we go back to the stories in Genesis. In Genesis, Abraham's nephew Lot had been kidnapped. And Abraham took his nomad army to rescue his nephew Lot. Returning home from the rescue, with all the plunder that he had received, out of nowhere arrives this high priest by the name of Melchizedek. He's also called the King of Salem, which we know as the city of Jerusalem. So Abraham and his army and their plunder and his nephew Lot, they're making their way back south, and they pass through the city that is now known as Jerusalem. And they meet this high priest called Melchizedek. No one knows who anointed him. No one takes this role away from him. And he is what we are told a picture of what Jesus Christ is going to do. Abraham saw Melchizedek as a mediator, the high priest of the living God. And so it says that Abraham bowed down And in his worship, he gave to Melchizedek 1/10 of all of the plunder that Abraham had acquired. Now, this is where the writer of Hebrews talks about the difference between Melchizedek and what was going to come in the line of Aaron. The writer of Hebrews is telling the Jews that when your forefather, Abraham, bowed down to this priest, Melchizedek, who was not of the tribe of Levi, not in the line of Aaron, but still a high priest anointed by God himself, the entire nation of Israel, the entire tribe of Levi, who is stored in Abraham's loins, acknowledged that they were subservient to Melchizedek. That Melchizedek's priesthood was going to be a greater priesthood than the priesthood that would come from the line of Levi. And so, Jews, you were present in your ancestor, Abraham, in bowing down to Melchizedek, in acknowledging that Melchizedek was a greater high priest when he offered a tenth of the plunder. He's saying Melchizedek was greater. And so would that be inappropriate for God to have people go through a mediator who is not of the tribe of Levi, just as Abraham went through a mediator that was not of the tribe of Levi? Melchizedek is a greater high priest. And then the writer goes back a couple of thousand years to Psalm 110. And he's pulling in this psalm to imply that this is what Jesus is about. Jesus is the fulfillment of these Old Testament images. We read, starting in verse 1 of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. This refers to Jesus' ascension and his victory over the grave. Jesus is the one who has ascended and is at the Father's right hand. And then it leads to this. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The you there refers to the one sitting at the Father's right hand, Jesus. You, Jesus, are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Even though Jesus is not of the line of Levi, if you go back to the Jewish faith, you're going back to nothing. You're going back to destruction. God's perfect mediator is not found in the tribe of Levi. God's perfect mediator isn't found in the line of Aaron. God's perfect mediator comes along this line of Melchizedek, and it is found in the person of Jesus. He is the one who perfectly brings us to the Father, and he is the one who perfectly brings the Father's blessings to us. Jesus is that great high priest in the line of Melchizedek, greater than any high priest that would come through the tribe of Levi. So that's the point that the writer of Hebrews is trying to make in chapter 7. Jesus is greater. And so as we look at the ways that Jesus is greater, we start to see some of the snapshots of how Jesus is this greater mediator, greater than any other mediator. And so we come to the snapshots. 8 of them today. Jesus is the promised mediator. We read in verse 21, "But Jesus became a priest with an oath when Jesus said to him, 'The Lord has sworn,'" and here it is, "'and will not change his mind.'" You are a priest forever. Jesus is never caught by surprise. God planned his role from the very beginning and will not change his mind. God made this promise even before the birth of Jesus, that Jesus would be this promised mediator. Second, Jesus is the authorized mediator. But Jesus became a priest with an oath, it says. God did not only promise this, he also backed it up with an oath, a double powerful promise. There is no other mediator that is needed to bring our needs before Father God. He is the true one. He is the promised one. He is the authorized one. Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the authorized one. Father God gave the oath. He is also the holy mediator. Moving on to verse 26. "Such a high priest truly meets our needs. He is one who is holy." Another word that is used for this is that he is the sanctified one. He is the holy one, which many of us know means he is wholly other. There is the creator, and then there's all the rest of creation. The creator is completely different than all the rest of creation. But Jesus is wholly other in this way. He came to live our life. He came to die our death. He came to win the victory. And he came to pick up the crown that Father God gave him. And now he mediates for us at the Father's right hand. He is that holy mediator. There is no one quite like him. He is the blameless mediator. Blameless literally means someone who does no injury or harm to someone. Someone who does no injury or harm to someone. Jesus, as he is serving as our mediator, never has anything bringing to the Father that has our harm or injury. Only things that will bless us. No amount of human lawyers or mediators can come together and equal what Jesus is doing for us. He is the blameless one. He only has our good in mind. He is the unblemished mediator. He has no flaws. He is perfect. He will never be disqualified. He is the true mediator. Now, we read about that in the news today, about certain people that people are trying to say are disqualified. Maybe, maybe not. Some judge will make a decision. But in this go-between between us and God, Jesus has no flaws. Humans fail. Humans sin, but that is not true of Jesus. Never sinned, never will, unblemished. He is the devoted mediator. It says that he is set apart from sinners. It means that he has been set apart on a mission. Jesus's mission is to be set apart to be our mediator, to be the one who bridges the gap between sinful humanity and holy God. Isn't it great to be in relationships with others who really wants that relationship? I mean, some relationships are forced on us. Some relationships are required of us. But to be in a relationship with someone who really wants that, that's Jesus, the devoted mediator. He is driven to be the mediator to bring us and God together. He is the exalted mediator. It says, exalted above the heavens. He is enthroned, and that's what Psalm 110 gets about. Or in Ephesians 4, it says that he descended to the depths of the earth, and he ascended to the heights of the heaven, that he might fill the earth. He is the king of righteousness, like Melchizedek. Righteousness literally means putting things right. Things that were wrong are now put right. In Christ, the things that have been put wrong in us because of our sin and our reckless disobedience have now been put right by Jesus. He is the permanent mediator. But Jesus became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because God made an oath, he will never change his mind. Jesus is there forever. We sing this beautiful song about 10,000 years. Do you think in 10,000 years, Father God might change his mind, might ponder anew, might just wonder, did I make the right choice? Father God will never change his mind on this. We have eternal security, a Savior who will be there for us forever, and we are eternally secured. And that's where I'm going to stop with the snapshots for today. Now, when we get to chapter 8, which won't be until after Resurrection Day, because we have Discipleship Sunday coming, we have Palm Sunday coming, we have Resurrection Day coming, and then we'll come back to chapter 8 that talks about the work of the high priest. But we know who Jesus is. So this is where we've been in the book of Hebrews. These are the snapshots of Jesus. He is God's final word. He is the Son of the Father, the image of God's glory, the source of everything, the sustainer of everything, the heir of all things, the purifier of everything. He is supreme over everything, the fulfillment of everything. He is flesh of our flesh. He is man of sorrows, the sympathizer in chief, the devourer of death, the disabler of the devil, the liberator of all fears. He is the sanctifier of the saints, the elder brother. Jesus is the architect of salvation. Jesus is the apostle of our faith, the high priest of our faith, God's authorized agent. Jesus is the greater Moses, the builder of the house, the master of the house, the land of promise. Jesus is the word of God, the high priest of heaven. He is the victor over temptation, the giver of grace and mercy. He is our helper. Jesus represents humanity to God, chosen by God, perfectly obedient one. Jesus is the source of salvation, the high priest like Melchizedek. Jesus is the goal of our growth. He is the daylight for our darkness. He is heaven's greatest gift. Jesus is the focus of the Spirit, the goodness of God, the city of refuge. He is the expert of reconnaissance. He is the anchor of hope. Jesus is the promised mediator. He is the authorized mediator. He is the holy mediator. He is the blameless mediator, the unblemished mediator, the devoted mediator. He is the exalted mediator and the permanent mediator. Whew. That's who Jesus is. And we're halfway through the book. There is more to come. What a great God we have. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a few more songs about a great and wonderful God. And before we do that, I invite you to join with me in coming before Him in prayer. Father God, thank you that you, with Spirit and Son, plan for our wonderful salvation. And we just acknowledge before you, it is nothing that we have earned, it is nothing that we deserve. We just acknowledge that we come before you as just grateful recipients of this gift of grace. And you planned and you promised and you also gave an oath that Jesus would be the one to mediate. He would be that one who represents humanity to you, and he would be the one who represents you to us. Thank you that he is that perfect high priest to offer the perfect blood. Thank you that he is the perfect sacrifice, offering his own blood for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Thank you for all that Jesus has done and is doing for us. We give you thanks, Father God, for the great way that you are working in our lives. We thank you for Discovery Church. We thank you for drawing us together. We thank you for giving us a place to call home, a place where we know that we can experience your grace and your mercy and your friendship through one another. We pray, Father God, that you will help us to continue to encourage each other, to lift up each other, and to be there for each other in the journeys that we are on. We thank you for hearing our prayers and for answering them. We thank you, Father God, that Sue made it safely to Kentucky to be with her granddaughter and great-granddaughters. We pray that you will bless her in these weeks and months as she is a primary caregiver for them for this next while. We pray that you will bless their time together and bless Sue as she continues to be your light for her family. We pray that you will be with Gail. We thank you that you have placed her in a safe place in Samaritus, where she can receive some treatment and care. And we pray that you will bless her and make her stronger there, and you will bless those who care for her. Father God, we lift up Roberta, who will be having her surgery in a few days. We pray that your grace and peace would rest upon her and Conrad and their family. As they await this surgery, we pray it will be successful. Bless the doctor, bless the nurses, bless the caregivers. We pray that you will bring success from this surgery, and that it would help alleviate the pain. We join with Jen in praying for her dad, that you will continue to give to him patience as he waits for his next doctor's appointment, and that you would use these doctors and this opportunity to bring a relief to him from the discomfort that he has. We rejoice with the Howes in the safety that you have given to Brennan as he had a major accident at work, and you spared him, you protected him and kept him safe, and they see your hand at work there. And we pray that you would use his recovery and their awareness of this accident and your hand of protection to draw that family closer to you. We join together with Bob and with Marge and the journey that they are on with cancer. And whatever that treatment is, we pray, Lord, that you will give to them strength, give to them courage that comes from you, and give to them abounding grace. We pray for those who, like Bob, myself, and Marlene, Pastor Mary, and there's probably others who are just have this lingering wondering about what might be next. We pray for your grace to help us to live in the present, to enjoy the blessings you give to us, and to continue to each day hand the future over to you. We pray this. We also pray for Sebastian and Joanna. We pray that you will bless them in their life here in a different country and in the immigration process that they are in. We pray, Lord, that you will give guidance and direction. We pray that you will be with Joe and David and Pam, that you will bless them in the places where they live. Provide, Lord, for the needs that they have, and we pray you will bless those who care for them. We pray for Annalise Grote, for Elizabeth Barnaby, for Emily Garant-Look, and the children that they carry. We pray, Father God, that you will protect them all. Give the moms patience and comfort in the waiting time. And we pray ultimately for good and safe deliveries when that time comes. We pray on this day and this week for our neighbors on Sunbrook. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them and that you would allow them to know that the double blessing that they are experiencing is coming from you. Thank you for giving to us the opportunity to be missionary partners with those locally and globally. Today and this week, we pray for Bridge Street Ministries. We pray for those that we know, Ryan and Alicia, and Derek, Stephanie. We pray for those who are on the front line, those on staff. We pray that you will give to them protection, that you will give to them courage, and that you will provide the needs that this ministry have. We also pray for our missionary partners as a denomination, and we think on this day of our missionary partners in Haiti. We pray that you will protect them and keep them safe, and we pray for the people of Haiti and the seeming chaos that is going on there right now. Sometimes as we come to you, we don't know exactly what to pray for, but we just know that you long for peace. You long for well-being. You have goodness in your plan for people around the world. We pray for that goodness in Haiti. We pray for those who are there ministering, not just in our denomination, but wherever they're coming from, to bring your goodness and your grace and the good news of Jesus. And we pray for their protection, and we just pray for the people that you will protect them and that you will bring a resolution to this very quickly. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for all the good that you do for us. We acknowledge that we don't deserve it. We have not earned it. It is the gift of your grace. So as best we know how, we offer ourselves to you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone agreed and said, Amen.